Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Man, this day is just flying by, isn't it? It's all about,
20% of the work week is done.
That's right, Dan. Always glass half full. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that about you, man.
You got it.
That's right.
Man, we are digging ditches.
No, we're not.
Building buildings.
Apparently, the popular Labubu dolls ignited a global frenzy may light up movie screens in the not-too-distant future, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Sony Pictures has closed a deal this week.
I thought you said they were going to light up bonfires.
To develop a movie based on the toothy monsters. The film is in the early stages of development. It has not been decided whether it will be live action or animation.
That's going to be an Oscar winner.
Have they
right there.
Not gotten word that we moved on from that trend like 4.5 days ago? It's over, dude.
What do these things do, these Labubus?
Nothing!
Do anything?
No!
Cost you money.
They're not like the Tamagotchis.
The Tamagotchi. Remember the.
What were those things called?
Tamagotchis.
Tamagotchis, yeah.
You could, quote, feed it and it would go, it needed you. And
didn't it poop too?
I don't know that they pooped, Scott. I don't know.
How many 90s kids still have a Tamagotchi somewhere just begging to be fed?
I don't even remember the Tamagotchi.
They're all dead because we all stopped feeding them.
Huh.
So this is just a doll?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It will be a crappy movie. About a doll.
I think it's more than a doll. It's a shining beacon of American stupidity. We're doing great.
Just in time for the holidays.
Well, but there have been lots of trendy little toys over the years that have ended up on the movies. The Smurfs.
Do you remember the first time you saw a pet rock in the store?
No.
Yeah, I do.
I do. Sears.
Those were a big deal back in the late 70s. Mm-hmm. They came in a box with little jail bars on them. You don't remember that?
No.
People paid for the pet rock, which was a rock.
That's what I figured.
In a box.
Huh. Well, they also pay for the, what's that stupid thing? The commercial's only around in the Christmas season where you water it and it grows.
Yeah, the chia head.
Chia pet.
Chia.
And now a chia tree to keep your chia pet company. Don't you besmirch the chia Bob Ross.
I was just about to say.
This thing is glorious.
Anybody ever bought a chia pet?
Yes.
Oh,
do you know who sells them?
Money.
They sell them at CVS and Walgreens.
That's right.
Around the holidays, because it's kind of a gag gift. I don't think people are serious about them.
But you're actually growing something. Yeah, and you can actually eat
Bob
it.
Ross's glorious fro.
How long does it last? Before at some point, the little grass or whatever you're growing is going to die.
I don't think it's meant to stick around forever. It's a gag gift.
If I bought you one, would you seriously try to grow the grass?
No.
An estimated 25 million units have been sold in the United States.
God.
It lasts about 2 to 4 weeks before it becomes overgrown. Mm. But you can use the planter indefinitely.
You know what we did over the weekend?
I know what I'm getting y'all for Hanukkah.
No, please don't.
Well, thank you. That's very sweet.
Guess what we did over the weekend? You'll be proud of me.
Watched football, drank, and golfed.
We did some of that. We probably worked a combined 7 hours, combined, removing items from a storage unit and placing those items.
Oh, good.
In the basement. And I bring this up because
so the basement's become the storage unit.
Yes, that we're already paying for. I bring this up because I know a lot of you listening have the storage unit. And we were...
Is this Big Juicy's?
At one point, it was not. We were a Living Dr. Rick commercial because I looked around. This was a much smaller place, you guys, up north. I looked around, I did the math, and I went, oh my gosh, do you have any idea how much money this one storage unit facility is making if all of these units are full? Scott, it's about the size of this room, was about the size of this studio. Okay.
The storage unit was as big as this room?
Yeah.
That's 10, a pretty big storage
10
unit.
10 by 20. Or
that's huge.
Whatever.
Your dimensions are way off.
So,
but, okay.
Yeah, it took, and the kids helped us get everything down into the basement. I had never been in a storage unit facility until this last week.
Neither have I.
America, we got a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, we would see people come in and out from time to time, and when you start doing the math... Let's just say it was $250 a month. When you start doing the math.
Is that really what they cost?
Yes. And you look around at all of the garage units, Scott.
Yeah.
Then you do you multiply that by, let's say there's 500 units per month. We are all in the wrong business. The storage unit business, oh my gosh, is
booming.
Booming.
A 10 by 10 is 200 a month. A 10 by 20 is 300 a month.
Is that climate controlled?
Yes.
No, that is not climate
controlled. They're all full, Scott. Oh. At one point, this sweet older woman and her husband came in with a haul of Thanksgiving treasures. You know, fall leaves, turkey centerpieces. And she said, well, it's time to put away all the Thanksgiving stuff and get out all my Christmas stuff. And her sweet husband was walking behind her.
Did he tell her that Thanksgiving hasn't happened yet?
Just shaking his head. He was like, here we go. And she offered this up. She goes, we've got two of these units here. And I said, oh, okay, good for you. You know, we said hi.
Was the husband carrying a box of matches?
He had a little cart.
Cut his wrists?
When did this really explode? Because I had never been to one until this last 2 weeks. When did this become a thing to the point that we have so much stuff?
Well, look at what's on TV.
We are paying to store it.
What's that show where you spend a certain
storage
amount of money?
Storage Wars.
Storage Wars, that's right.
Yeah, they bid on abandoned storage
and
units.
Then you let's say you win the bidding, they open the door, you could be walking into a treasure trove or a trash can.
Oh, come on. We talked about this.
Out in Colorado... That actually just recently happened where they bid on a storage unit and they found 1.7 million counterfeit fentanyl pills inside.
Oh, oh, wow.
Have fun with that.
Along with powder to make 6 million more.
If I had to guess, Dan, in that even that storage wars, right, it was one unit out of 1,000.
Okay.
Might have something. Might
so
have something.
Is it fair to assume that this was... Johnny's storage unit?
No, it was a lot of stuff over the years, and we kept it, but we're no longer paying for the space to keep it.
Then why don't you just throw it away?
We have the space. Because
you have a basement.
Yeah, we have a basement. and I mean, I if you needed to store stuff in our basement, you could, Scott. That is how much space we have down
there.
I'm
good.
So there are 54,000 storage unit facilities, approximately 54,000 in the United States.
That's facilities. Not storage units.
Within each facility, they average 546 units. Some are well over 1,000. Some have like 5,000. But we're going to run with that 546 number.
Okay.
Assuming all of those are the baseline 10 by 10, which of course we know they're not because there's 10 by 20s, whatever.
Let's just go with $200.
Some people have to store
by
boat.
5.9 billion dollars minimum. That is the lowest that industry rakes in.
5.9 billion a year?
A year.
Wait.
Pardon me. I did the monthly cost, which was 200. So
Sam,
let's multiply that by 12.
It's a month.
Thank you for that. 70.7 billion dollars a year.
Go back to the month. $6 billion a month we are all collectively paying for stuff that I'm telling you, 1 in 1,000 of those has anything of any value in it. I think Storage Wars, they would pick the one that did and be like, oh, look at this. We found some baseball cards. When in actuality, it's furniture. It's clothing.
Yeah, I know I've said this before, and I do think that there is without question, a legitimate reason why somebody might need a storage unit.
College towns, they're really big there.
Perhaps you're in transit, you're downsizing,
yep.
But you don't know what to do with all that stuff yet, okay? you have a mobile home or you have a boat that you want to store over the winter, whatever. But I would bet, and this is just me spitballing, I have no research to back this up, my guess would be that 80 to 90% of storage rooms, whatever you call them, are to hold the stuff that for whatever reason you can't seem to part with.
It's higher. I'm telling you right now, it's higher.
You're basically a hoarder, but you don't get to see your stuff. Why would anyone...
My parents, if we asked my dad, I'm sure he would tell us what they've spent in 4 years storing that stuff down south. And it's going to be thousands of dollars over years, right?
Sure, of course.
I think it's like 95% stuff that you couldn't get a lot of out of at a garage sale.
Does your mom ever drive over, open the door just to look at it at least?
I don't think so.
Or does...
It just lives. We're paying to just have our stuff live.
Well, some
in
people
a space.
Live in a smaller place and they use it as an extra bedroom or storage area that they don't have in the place that they actually live in.
But Dan, like my mom, if you haven't missed that stuff,
you don't need it
in 4 years,
right?
Do you need it?
In October, I helped a family member clear out a storage unit. That door on that storage unit was shut 13 years ago and was not opened until I helped them clear it out.
Oh, my.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So Dana had the great joy of unloading a storage unit over the weekend.
It was actually kind of fun. I wouldn't want to do it every weekend.
And remind me, how old was the dust in that unit? Meaning, how long was it shut?
There was some dust on it. Not 13 years like yours, yeah. Sam.
Well, it wasn't nice. His.
If I asked Sam, though, the door was shut on your unit you helped clean out for 13 years, was it furniture? Was it collectibles? Was it clothing?
Like, or was it just stuff?
Was it just stuff?
All of the above.
Yeah.
At one point in the last 13 years, the ceiling of it caved in. Oh, so that was a nice additional dust.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
I'm telling you, if you have a storage unit, chances are you don't need a storage unit. You're wasting your money and you're borderline hoarding.
Like my mom says during Thanksgiving, we got to come get what we want out of the storage unit because she swears she's shutting it down.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know.
Watch over the ocean. The pigs are going to be flying.
I know it.
Do you really believe that? Do you want anything?
I already have my bell. My grandpa's bell was all I wanted. I told you that.
I'm preparing you for what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Everything in there she thinks is of value.
I know.
And I love Big Juicy.
You say, now, Dana, what about this? What about these trophies?
It's going to be some things you did in third grade
yes.
with the macaroni and the glue.
Yes.
Oh, but honey, you never know if you're going to want that someday.
I know.
I have two boxes in my basement. They're long. They're not big boxes at all.
Yeah.
And literally written on top of it is crap only Scott wants. And so when my kids died, that's where you can find my kids are just going to really enjoy this, my old report cards, my merit badges from
Boy Scouts. Why is it so hard to throw that stuff out? Why?
Well, I don't ever go down there and look at it, but again, it's only two small boxes of stuff. I don't have a storage facility. But your mom is going to say, oh, Dana, don't you want that?
I know.
This is a picture of you and your best friend that you can't name anymore. David in Kansas City. David, hello.
Hi, David.
Hey, I told Sam, my mom died in 1998. My sister got a storage unit because she wanted most of my mom's stuff.
Yeah.
My sister passed away in 2013. I kept that storage unit for 11 and a half years. I calculated when I got out of it here in January, I'd spent $35,000 on it.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how much she spent on it before me. And I got $757 from the estate sale, got people for the stuff in it.
So it was worth $700.
You spent $35,000.
But, David, that is such a normal tale, because the stuff that my mother has kept back, it is from when she lost her mom and dad, and she cannot bear to part with it. And I think the storage unit companies know that when it comes to like nostalgia and you losing someone in your life, it's almost impossible to throw that stuff out.
And exactly, it's exactly that. And then, Scott, I have a little side story for you. When I was at that storage unit one time, these SUVs and minivans start pulling up and dropping kids off, and two of them walk in with guitars. And I'm trying to figure out what is going on. And then the band started playing in the storage unit across from me, and the parents had rented the storage unit for the band to practice in.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
It was pretty funny.
Cheaper than renting studio space.
That's a great story, man. Thank you. Don in Parkville. Don, hello.
Hi, love you guys and love your show.
Thank you. It's yours. Go ahead.
Much like the previous caller, there are, like having a live band, there are a few other reasons why I think people have storage units. I own a commercial furniture manufacturer in Kansas City, and we've got salespeople all over the country that have to show samples of large furniture pieces, and they will cover multiple states, and they can't fit all that stuff in their vehicles, so they'll rent storage units all throughout their territories with the different samples, and then stop by those units to pick up the samples for that particular territory's, presentations that week. So I know we use a lot of them across the country for business purposes.
Interesting, Don. Right.
Don, thank you for the call. Here's somebody else who I think could use a storage unit, a realtor. And here's why.
Staging.
If you got to stage a house, I just sold the house. Owners are moving in. Where am I going to put all this furniture? I don't need to stage another house right now. All the other houses that I'm selling are already staged.
Right.
I would need to store that furniture somewhere, and I would get a storage facility.
Whoever came up with the idea of the storage unit was brilliant. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying they prey on you. I don't want to use that. Language is too strong. There is a need for that business. But I do think, like, especially when someone passes on, and what are you going to do with grandma's crocheted afghans that no one in the family wants? You cannot throw them out, because we carry around guilt about things. Like that somehow I'm less than, or I didn't love her as much as I should if I throw out this thing that she made. And are they not capitalizing on those feelings?
But how much stuff do you have to keep from your grandma to feel not guilty?
But there's a psychology there, is what I'm saying. And I don't know why.
I own one thing that my grandmother made. One.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a small pillow. I don't own a thing from my grandfather at all.
Is this just a really long-term hangover from like the silent generation, and we have to keep everything because, we may lose everything?
Man, I don't know, Sam. Because
I don't get it either.
My grandparents, the World War II grandparents I had, were minimalists. When it came time to downsize, they got rid of everything.
Grow up in the military where you move every 2 to 3 years. My mom used to tell us all the time, if you're not using it, we're not moving it.
Yep, toss it.
Because otherwise we would just move everything. I have three things of my father's. I have his dog tag from Vietnam. I have his class ring from the University of Oklahoma. And I have his old dresser. That's it.
Because we talk about stories like this, and the only thing I can think of is, why in the world would somebody want to keep all that stuff? But then I also have hoarding tendencies. Like, keep me away from an estate sale, I might buy half the stuff.
Really?
Oh, it's bad.
And do what with it?
Tools. He looks for tools. I know you do.
I do have an entire toolbox of old antique tools that I'll never use.
I just lied. I do have one thing for my grandfather.
Okay.
His old wooden driver golf club.
Okay, that's cool. And also could be a weapon next to your bed, you know.
No, it's in the golf bag in the garage that I never use and haven't used in 12 years when I went with you and your dad.
But you can't throw it out because you'd feel guilty throwing that out.
And I've never used it. I kept it when my grandmother passed, she gave me my grandfather's golf bag and clubs. I'm the one person in the family that doesn't golf.
Maybe it was a sign.
And I gave away the others, and I kept just one wooden driver, and it sits in my golf bag.
So there is a psychology there, because you would feel guilty throwing that out. I know you would.
Yeah, I won't throw it away.
See?
913-586-7798.
You're just as screwed up as the rest of us.
Known that for a long time here on Dana and Parks.
You know, one of the things you would have loved, Scott?
What?
Sam, you're too young. But remember when we used to check out library books at the public library or our school library?
They still do that.
You would open the book many, many, many decades ago. And on the left, there was a flap, like a little envelope. Mm-hmm. And you would pull out the little card and the librarian would stamp it with the checkout date. And then would stamp it with the return date when you brought it back. We found an old library card I don't know what to call those. It was just the thing in the flap of your library.
It was the checkout card.
The checkout card. Yeah. And it was dated 1954. There were books checked out in 55, like all through the 50s and 60s. And why were those stamps so satisfying? The noise what do you call that stamp thing? It went ch-ch-ch.
It's called a stamp.
No, but like it was metal and it had a wooden top and you would push it down.
And it stamped things.
And it stamped things.
It's called a stamp.
You know what I mean.
I know what you're talking about.
And remember the librarian used to open all the books and go ch-ch-ch-ch, ch-ch-ch, ch-ch-ch, ch-ch-ch.
Now, we still had those when I was checking books out from the library, but it was like it wasn't used, right? There was a digital system. They would just scan the barcode.
Right.
But we would always write like funny names in there, like Seymour Butts or, you know, different variations of Mike followed by.
Yeah, okay, we got
it. Yeah.
Retro date stamp. They're called retro date stamp. Okay.
Like I said.
A stamp.
It's called a stamp. They are mourning Kit Kat in San Francisco. Kit Kat is
no longer with us.
A tabby that used to hang out on 16th Street in San Francisco's Mission District, usually at a rundown dive bar called Delirium. Anyway, Kit Kat is no longer because Kit Kat was run over by a robot taxi.
Waymo.
It's believed it was a Waymo. By the way, we were in San Francisco not too long ago. Those driverless cars are everywhere.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
All over that city.
Listen to this story from the New York Times. Waymo was thriving in San Francisco. Then one of its driverless cars killed a cat. And an uproar
they're not happy.
Has ensued. Have you seen the makeshift memorial out? Scott, I don't want to say it's crazy, but it's candles and it's artist renderings of Kit Kat and it's...
That sounds like crazy to me, Sam.
I would agree. It's crazy. Did this cat, not that all cats aren't precious, but did this cat have an owner or was it just a random stray?
A guy by the name of Mike Zeiden took in Kit Kat about 6 years ago to catch mice.
Oh, okay.
Into a shop, it's called Randa's Market. And he took the cat in to catch mice. The cat hung out on the shop. You might want to not go to that market if they've got mice problems.
But here's the difference, Scott. Hundreds, if not thousands, of animals are killed by human drivers in San Francisco every year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The death of a single cat crushed by the back tire of a Waymo self-driving taxi has infuriated residents and led to consternation among those who resent how automation has encroached on so many parts of our lives.
I never thought I would read this next line on a radio show. Waymo does not dispute that one of its cars killed Kit Kat. The company released a statement saying that when one of its vehicles was picking up passengers, a cat darted under our vehicle as it was pulling away. We send our deepest sympathies to the cat's owner and the community who knew and loved Kit Kat.
Others are wondering why there hasn't been the same level of concern over San Francisco pedestrians and pets killed by human drivers over the years.
Well, that's a fair point.
This is a shrine. This is about more than Kit Kat, and Kit Kat is cute, and I love Kit Kat, and Kit Kat was loved by those people in the neighborhood. This is bigger than a cat. This is about driverless things and AI and technology, and we are going to take all of our energy, and now, and I'm not saying it's misplaced or misguided, but this is way bigger than a cat, is it not?
I must have missed a connection there. They're mad that a Waymo killed a cat, so they're like, well, look at the other people. They kill people. Let's go for the Waymo, because all they kill is cats.
Yes.
So I was watching,
in essence.
I was watching what's now known as MS Now this morning, because every day at 8:30 in the morning, they bring on a guy named Andrew Ross Sorkin, who works for CNBC. And he's a business reporter and anchor. He's on Squawk Box. He's very, very smart. And that's why I like to watch him, because he's much smarter than I am. Anyway, I was tuning in, and they had a story, and I think it was about Kit Kat and how, like, in San Francisco, this is really hurting Waymo's business,
the
killing of Kit Kat, or the death of Kit Kat. And Andrew Ross Sorkin had a really dark but interesting question. As they were talking about, you know, how more and more cities are going to experiment, test out driverless cars. And Andrew Ross Sorkin said, and I'm paraphrasing, but I'm close enough to be dangerous. He said a certain number, it was tens of thousands, I think it was, I want to say 50,000. 50,000, and let's just use that number. 50,000 people are killed in traffic wrecks in the United States every year. If companies like Waymo and what are some of the others?
I don't know, because I won't get in blank.
But anyway, let's say that they could get it down, that number of traffic fatalities down to, say, 5,000 in the United States and not 50,000.
Right.
Would that be an acceptable number?
Well, think about it. It is way better than 55, but it's way easier to hate on technology.
Right.
Even though the numbers don't necessarily bear out the danger.
And one of the anchors on MSNBC or MS Now, I can't remember who it was, but they said Americans will never say that 5,000 deaths by driverless vehicles is acceptable, but we will always say, you know, not that it's acceptable, but there's something unique in the way that we rationalize these things.
Correct.
You know, well, that was caused because he wasn't paying attention or she was putting on her makeup.
But this was a machine.
That's right. This was supposed to be the wave of the future, and somebody got killed last night.
All right, here's another way to look at it. And this is a quote from the Times article. A human driver can be held accountable, can hop out, say sorry, can be tracked down by police.
Can be fined, sued.
Can be jailed.
Mm-hmm.
Here, there is no one to hold accountable. Whose fault is it when a driverless car kills a cat?
It might be the cat's fault.
We don't know. If it was a human driver that killed Kit Kat, would this be in the news? Of course not.
No.
Of course we would not be talking about this.
But the fact that I think for whatever reason, when it comes to these driverless cars, and I don't know if this is exclusive to the United States or if this is a worldwide thing, I think we're looking to find fault. We always want to find fault with new technology. You know? Well, that can't work. Look at AI. AI is a great example. Everybody's, the one thing, you know, and AI does have its benefits, but what we like to point out is when people are using it to cheat on tests or to write their legal briefs.
Right.
Or
create images that didn't exist, if you get where I'm going.
Yeah, we know where you're going with
that.
Or, you know, one time when John Grayson had AI, this is in the early days, or at least not early days of AI, but when people like you and me were actually starting to learn about artificial intelligence, He had AI write a one-page paper on me.
And it was horribly wrong.
It actually wasn't. It was more right than it was wrong, but the things that I focused on were the things that it got wrong. Like that I write op-ed pieces for the Kansas City Star. I've never written anything for the Kansas City Star.
Here's one quote from a fan of the feline that wants Waymo out of San Francisco.
Because of one cat.
We will never forget our sweet Kit Kat. The poor thing suffered a horrible, horrible unaliving.
I'm sorry?
The poor thing suffered a horrible, horrible unaliving.
Is that to mean death?
The word unaliving is used by some social media users to avoid algorithms that suppress videos using words like death.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And it's so common now that it's making its way into workplace vernacular. It's all over. I'm assuming 2027's word of the year is going to be unalive.
Explain to me why we're supposed to be using unaliving so that the algorithm won't push death to my...
No, so it will push... If the word unaliving is in there and not death, the writer stands a better chance of getting it pushed to you.
So, like, say we're talking about JFK or whatever, and on the day of his death, automatically that video will get what is called shadow banned. So it won't get pushed to anybody in the algorithm because it talks about death.
Mm-hmm. Well, now they're just going to tell the algorithm to not push unaliving.
So, like, with certain politicians who are, you know, and I don't care what side you're on, but they're deemed to be somewhat controversial. If somebody is writing about them on a Facebook post or a Twitter post or whatever, they'll use an asterisk in the place of one of the letters in their name.
I have seen that.
Because otherwise it'll get flagged. And then it gets kicked off the algorithm.
So, or if they're talking about a certain crime that will get shadow banned, they'll say grape instead of that word without a G.
Okay.
Or replace the P with an asterisk.
Right.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Finally, after 40 years in the business, Tom Cruise has finally collected his first Academy Award.
No way.
And it was an honorary Oscar. So he didn't win for any particular movie, just a body of work.
He did not win for A Few Good Men. That was Jack Nicholson, huh?
I don't know who won from that movie.
Wow.
Nicholson would have been a supporting actor in that movie. Mm-hmm. Tom Cruise would have been a leading actor.
You're saying Tom Cruise has never won an Oscar.
He picked up his first Oscar last night at the Academy of Motion Picture Awards and Sciences Governor's Awards get-together.
Oh.
Good for him. That's awesome.
Well, and you know what? During the break, I was going through his filmography.
How many?
You can laugh about the Top Gun and the Mission Impossible, the Jack Reachers. There's no chance he's ever going to get an Oscar for those movies. It's just not going to happen. But here are some. Valkyrie, where he plays a German colonel who tries to assassinate Adolf Hitler.
The one with Renee Zellweger, You Complete Me?
Jerry Maguire.
No Oscar?
No. Here are some other ones that he was in that clearly would have to be considered.
Born on the 4th of July.
I was just going to mention that one. The Firm. A Few Good Men. I mean, the movies that he is in that are just great.
How many movies has he made?
Collateral. I don't know. Dana, I have no idea. Let me look that up.
There was the weird one where the frogs are falling from the sky at the end. There was the one.
They're not all hits.
No, I know, but I'm just saying it was sort of critically acclaimed. Wasn't sort of my deal, but it was all right.
Well, he's 63 years old, has an incredible library of work.
Yeah, still does his own stunts.
And has never won an Oscar for any of the movies that he's in.
Did you hear that ding-a-ling, quote, delusional Paris Hilton has been roasted by fans for claiming she's, quote, self-made.
Says she's never received a handout.
Quoting here from Paris, "I'm self-made, like I've done this all on my own," she said of her media business that is now valued at $1 billion with 25 employees. Quote, "No one has ever given me anything in my entire life."
That's a lie.
End quote. Stop talking. Oh, my God.
Her grandfather, who is the late billionaire Baron Hilton, he died in 2019. He left 97% of his wealth to the Hilton Family's Foundation and nothing to Paris.
Now, one commenter said, yes, she hit the home run of wealth and fame, but her family started her on third base. Oh, sure. I would argue her family did not start her on third base.
Halfway home.
They started her a couple of steps from home plate. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm self-made. Oh, my God.
Well, you know.
I'm not saying she didn't put in work if she's got a business that's
sure.
doing well.
She
but you're
did.
Not self-made either, sister.
You go to the store, you buy a Hot Pocket, you pop it in the microwave, you pull it out, boom, self-made.
82 million Americans say they plan to travel on Thanksgiving. 90% of them say they're going to drive.
Ooh, look out.
Mm-hmm. Today is National Unfriend Day. You're supposed to unfriend some people on Facebook today. Birthdays. Rachel McAdams is 47. Danny DeVito is 81. Martin Scorsese is 83. Lauren Michaels is 81. And RuPaul is 65 today. We got to run. Back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks, and God willing, back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.